Blog Talk Radio.
You want real? I got real. Welcome to my house. Brick house. You heard?
Right, April 9th, 2012, and you have now entered into Brick's house. Welcome, 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 and welcome. before I get started today, got to bring all my partner in crime, got to bring all the first phone lady of Phone Fantasy Radio, Miss La Crush Hearts. Good evening, La Crush. Okay. You got to put the applause on for you coming in. No, that's right. Good evening, La Crush. How are you this evening?
I mean, I was jealous last week.
Why was you jealous?
Because we gave Black Reporter not one, but twice applause for tuning in. And I was jealous.
You know,
like, wait, we didn't give me enough applause.
We didn't give me no. Okay, you know what? Yes, you're right. If that's the case, where my applause?
That's
I ain't give
right.
me either.
Like,
I ain't get that either. Okay, so, you know what? I guess this is for the both of us. Both of us get some applause. I guess not, because I don't hear nothing.
But I just paused it. Did you not hear it?
I'm going to keep my hands off control because you know I ain't no good. Anyway, before we get started, that was Sun Shower. You heard him opening the show today. If you recognize that tune, that is was sampled quite a lot by the rappers today. But that is the original Dr. Buzzin's Savannah Man, Sun Shower.
Oh.
I love Dr. Buzzin. I do. I just love his music. I love the music. You may be familiar with the other one they wrote, Crush, which is Che Che Le Femme. They also did that one. But that was one of their oldies, Sun Shower. So how was your weekend? How was your Easter? Happy Easter, everyone. I hope everyone enjoyed their Easter. How was your Easter, Crush?
My Easter was good. My weekend was good.
Was
I did
good.
So much this weekend. It was good, girl. I did so much this weekend. That's
good.
What I
see, productive. Productivity. Even if you did something productive, that's a good thing.
Right.
You got a lot
done. That's the thing.
That's a good
I was productive being non-productive.
See, then that's even better. Because, see, you were productive without even trying. That's the best kind of productivity. Because it doesn't seem like work. But we got a great show planned for you guys today. So we want to get right into it. We don't want to waste a second. Because we're going to play some good music. We're going to have some good convo. And with that being said, I would like to bring in, hold on, I see we got somebody already on the line. 225, we got two people.
Mm-hmm.
225 is on the line. And is that the 225 that I presume to be?
Mm-hmm.
Who I think it is? Would that be the lady of the hour?
Hello.
Hello. She's our resident expert today.
Our resident expert today.
Right.
All right. We're going to call on you for a lot of information, Miss Lady. See, how are you this evening?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Very good.
Hi,
very
Lady
good.
C. Hi, Lady
C. Here you go. Anyway. We got another caller on the line who hasn't lifted their finger. So if you want to talk, call on the line, please, by all means, press 1, and we'll put you in the queue to speak. So, moving right along, we're going to get into our topic of discussion today, which is good times. Now, if you don't know what good times is, then you know what? You just wasting your time. You might as well go somewhere. And go, I don't know, watch The Voice or go watch something else on TV. Because you're not going to get anything we're saying here tonight if you've never seen one episode of Good Times.
Mm-hmm.
That's first and foremost. Okay, secondly, if you're a child of the 70s like I am, or you were, let's just say, a blossoming teenager, as Lady C probably was during those days, or you could have been an old crab apple like Brad Porter was fighting back then. If you were one of those, you probably remember the 70s and everything it had to offer. 70s provided for a lot of art, a lot of different types of social classes. It was post civil rights era.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to see a little bit of the fruits of the labor that was put in for the civil rights movement. And Good Times was one of those shows that came along in the 70s. And its ideal was to promote family and promote strong families. Not necessarily. I'm not going to just sit there and say Black Family, because there were other sitcoms that came out at that time that were promoting family. But the overall, I mean, this happened to be a Black family, but the overall, you know, idea was to create these family shows that were not like your average family, that weren't like Beaver Cleaver and Mom Cleaver, the stuff that was played in the 60s. It was nothing like that. You know, these were real families where there was, an unemployed person in the family. Maybe the mother didn't work. Maybe the father didn't work. You know, maybe they didn't work because they didn't want to, like June Cleaver, or she kept house or running after Beaver every 5 seconds. But
you
look at
Ozzie and Harriet.
Exactly, or Ozzie and Harriet, exactly. Or what was the other one? Father Knows Best. My Three Sons. What was the other one with Danny Kaye? Daddy's Little Girl or something like that?
Oh, yeah, it was Daddy's Little Girl, yeah.
Some kind of nonsense
like
that.
And like the Dick Van Dyke Show. All of them had these little housewives with the husband
exactly.
that was working. And she
exactly.
didn't have to work.
Exactly.
She just took care of home and children.
She just took care of home. You know, you had Opie and Andy and stuff like that. These shows were geared more towards real urban life. Okay? Urban life is when they were actually families struggling to put a meal on the table every day. They were
right.
actually families struggling with political corruption. I mean, we have political corruption now, but back then it was nothing like it was back then. I mean, back
right.
then, you know, you had politicians being caught dead to rights on tape, you know, being corruptive and still walking away and winning another election after that, you know. So, I mean, it's bad now, but it was really horrible then. You
right.
know, it was like there was like zero type of justice for the small guy when it came to politicians. But let's get into Good Times just a little bit. When I go around and say crush, when I say Good Times to you, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Thinking of that sitcom Good Times.
Thinking of Good Times, I'm going to have to say JJ. Dino Pie. I'm an 80s baby,
so you
think
that's the first
thing
that pops to your mind?
The first thing that pops in mind is JJ. I don't.
What about you, Lady C?
Ghetto.
Ghetto. The project. The ghetto show.
That's the first
thing
you think about.
They were in the projects and they
mm-hmm.
they should have got out. When I think about that and like she said, JJ, but then Florida and her.
You know, and funny. You know what I think of. When I think of Good Times, the first thing that comes to my mind is Hungry. And,
no.
I mean,
right.
I thought about that today.
Yeah.
And it seems to me like they never got enough to eat in that house.
No, they didn't.
It just seemed to me like they were always hungry. You know what I mean?
But they were always wanting to share their food.
Yeah, exactly.
They were always invited to buy to eat, and the kids look and say, "We only got one chicken, and you're
going to
share."
You know, exactly. And then she would have
but
that
you know,
one chicken.
That's truth. That's truth, though. In those times, well, you know, and I know when growing up in the 80s, I can't speak of the 70s. I'm not a 70s child. But I know in the 80s, we could have three pieces of bread, but if the neighbor came over asking for a piece of bread, you would
they're
get
gonna
a
get
piece
some,
of bread.
Yeah.
Right, they're going to get some piece of bread. Like, that's truth right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We just got one pot.
You know, looking at it like.
A pan of cornbread.
Right, if we had four sausages and you came over asking for some meat, we're going to give you a sausage. Like, that's how it was. Like, if you was looking for some, I can't do that now, but if you, your lights got turned off.
Well,
you can go
all,
next door with extension cord, like, what's good?
First of all,
you know.
If these kids ever ate sausage, I bet their lips would probably fall off. Every morning, it was oatmeal for breakfast.
Yeah, it was always oatmeal.
They didn't have sausage and eggs. You know, and it's funny because while I was doing the research for this show, and this morning, my son said, what's for breakfast? I said, a box of oatmeal up there. He said, no sausage and eggs, bacon. I said, wait a minute.
She always made a pot of oatmeal.
I said.
And grabbed them a bowl of oatmeal.
Exactly. It was oatmeal. I said, they ate oatmeal back in the days. Breakfast, sausage, and eggs. That was something rich folks eat. You know, and I'm sitting here like, wow, these kids are like spoiled. I remember even eating cold cereal, hot cereal for breakfast.
Exactly.
But he took off by
kids at the beginning. They didn't show him. He was always asking, what's his sister's name? For help.
Selma.
And Michael. Selma.
Okay. Let's talk about what.
Hold on. We got a caller who want to join the conversation from Philly.
Okay.
Hi, 215.
Oh, Lord. I can tell that too.
Hey,
hello, 215. Oh, from Philly. Is this my Philly friend?
Hi, 215.
Yeah.
What's up, Philly?
What's going on, son? How you doing?
Feeling like a real man should, just like every night. You know how it goes.
What's up?
Sound like a plan.
I'm glad you joined us for this discussion, son, because we're just now getting into, we're just starting off our conversation with talking about good times, and we started off talking about JJ and whether JJ was an intelligent character or not. Was he an intelligent person? You believe he was?
I think he was gifted, and I think he did have a certain amount of intelligence based on what the writers, you know, portrayed him from the beginning of the show's beginning to, like, towards the end. Because I remember there were a couple of episodes where JJ tried out some business ventures. Remember he was managing the white chick that could sing.
I remember that.
You know what? I'm gonna take it back to what you was the question. The first thing that comes to my mind when you talk about the show Good Times is bad luck. They were cursed with bad luck. They could never get out from under. You know what I mean?
Was it bad luck? I don't think it was bad luck.
It was bad luck.
I mean, every time they was about to come up, they get cursed. James was finally about to, you know, get a decent job and get them out of the project. What happened? JJ was about to break into show business, managing the chick. What happened? The other dude stealing from him. You know what I mean? Bad luck. Thelma married married a football star.
Watch his show.
He's out the game. It was bad luck.
I understand what you're saying, but look, he could have went to Alaska and worked on the pipeline. She said, no, baby, don't go.
Exactly.
They found the money. No, give the money back. They could have got out of there with some of the, JJ's things. Oh, we're not
all right, y'all. All right, y'all. We kind of jumping the gun a little bit. I don't want us to jump all over the place with this. Okay, I want us to just kind of stay on track here. I understand both of y'all made valid points, and it's true. I agree with them. But let's try to stay on track first. And let's talk about some of the problems they had to deal with back then. Okay, they had to deal with the whole poverty issue. They were poor, you know.
Right.
They had to deal with drugs, unemployment. They tackled child abuse. You know, they tackled, you know, deaths, alcoholism, gangs, sexually transmitted diseases, you know, adoptions and African culture clashes. They did basically everything there was on Good Times. I think I can honestly say I've seen basically every episode of Good Times that they have. And these are just some of the things that they talked about on the show. Okay, anybody agree with what I said? Did I leave out? I mean, I may have left out something, but is there something that you don't think should have been included?
You left out a few, but that's good.
Yeah, I'm sure I left out a few. I mean, that's just off the top of my head. They dealt with a lot of stuff. You know, when you look at then versus now, the way the characters... You know, first, let's look at the characters. Let's start with James. I want everybody to give me their interpretation of James, what they thought about James, starting with Lady C. What did you think about James?
Well, he was... A black man trying to stand up, but he always listened to his wife more than he listened to himself. But he wasn't intentionally a strong black man.
He was
his intention, you know, but he just, when Florida would say, oh, James, and he would
give in.
Okay. All right, Black Reporter.
James was a hard-working black man, which we didn't have enough of on the screen in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna leave it at that.
That's it. Crush?
Huh?
What you think about James? James.
What's so funny, Lacey?
Just the way she said, huh, like she was somewhere else.
Huh? Like, no. James was, he was strength. He was the provider. That's one thing he was. He was there.
Yeah.
That's something that you don't see a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm going to leave it at, too.
Okay, what about you, son?
Bad luck. No.
He's not letting go of that.
What I understood about James, I would have to say that he was uneducated but determined, and overall a good father figure. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely one that would physically stand up for his family. And try to make a way the best way he could. Just, you know, I can just leave it at that until we look at it. But the, you know, overall, that would be
okay.
My short version.
Does anybody believe that it was James's fault why they were in the predicament they were in?
No.
They just happened to be a victim of circumstance. Do you think it was James's fault?
I agree. It was always hard for me to look at it as not his fault, because with most men, especially men put in his position, like y'all was saying, he would always listen to what Florida would say. But you know, there comes a time when a man got to do what he got to do.
Exactly.
Like, he was real good.
I agree.
He was a pool shark, but you know what I mean. He was too shook to go out there and hustle. Now, remember, he only had like a sixth grade education. You gonna tell me
that you gonna fight against the odds
instead of using your natural ability? It was unrealistic, like crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, but you know what? The real problem I had with Good Times is the same problem I had with almost all sitcoms, like even the Cosby Show. You know what I mean? Like, look, wasn't like. Selma should have been pregnant at like 16, 15, 16. You take a ballerina class. Come on, you're up in the project.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God, you're hitting everything on the head. I have a big problem with James. I have a big problem with him. And not because he wasn't there for his family. As a provider, I think that this man could have did more to provide for his family. I think that James pick and choose what he listened to from Florida. Okay?
Yeah.
Florida says, no, James, we got to get back the money from the grocery store, James. Okay? So what does he do? He gives it back. Everybody's laughing at him, calling him a dummy for giving that money back. Okay? Then the preacher comes sniffing around for the money. He want to give it to the preacher. Okay? Florida know the preacher corrupt. I'm like, listen, why didn't you just take this money and do good with it? Okay?
Thank you.
Nobody said it had to be, you had to go out there and gamble it away or try to turn it into 10 grand. Take the money and do some good with it. But Florida was always, James, there's no way, James. We got to keep the family together. Like the lady said about the pipeline, he could have made mad money and brought them out of the projects. Okay? No, James, we can't have it. We got to stay together, James. Come on. And plus, I was upset with him because, okay, James was hard working. Was he hard working or was he hardly working? Okay, because James didn't even have an education. So we can't even honestly say there were no jobs. He wasn't qualified for any of them.
Nope. I get what you're saying, but you got to also look at it. I don't think that the economy or, you know, this is post Civil War. You get what I'm saying? And
Civil War.
It sounds. I mean, sorry.
civil rights movement.
Civil rights.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And a lot of people, not him, but he does represent a lot of African American males or black men at that time that had low education.
But the resources were there.
And they were coming from the South and stuff like that. So, you know, it was just 10 years ago that they was, you know, able to just, you know, well, yeah, about 10 years ago before that, where they just start this segregation and all the other stuff and was able to even get education. So a lot of them didn't have education back then to begin with.
Yeah, but he had went to the service. He had been in the service. He was armed for
uh-huh.
He had that.
That was going on. That stuff was going on in the South. Okay,
you know.
They were in Chicago.
But he had been in the service. And they moved from the South, and he came up there, and they had a few people that showed up. And like she said, he was a pool shark. He knew how to do the numbers. And she wouldn't let him go do any of that. When he would get the only time he was able to try to sneak it in is when they needed that extra to pay rent or to pay the light bill. And he could sneak it in. And, okay, I ran, don't tell her. Tell her you loaned it to me. And he would, his friend, come, oh, here the money. But he done went down with his pool stick and got the money to pay the rent or to pay the light bill.
And remember when she sat there and then she got the nerve to pray and thank the Lord for that seven shot, something he did? Remember when she said, Lord, I thank you for that shot? I said, so wait a minute. So you pick and choose when, you know, you want to be religious when you don't.
When it's allowed.
But ain't that survival period? Isn't that what we normally do in the hood, so to speak?
Okay.
It's like, you know,
well,
what you do.
Survival, but the fact of the matter is, they didn't never have to struggle as much as they did. And all he would take, it took him one day a week to go down and make the money and pay and then work whatever and whatever he had to do and not have to wait till the lights got cut off.
You pick and choose, and that still applies. My thing is I'm looking at it this way. It still applies to those that hustle and say if it was drugs that he was selling to get that extra money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you do it to get what you need to get above that hump. And then you have to go back and you have to say stop. Because if you continue doing that, it's going to sooner or later your luck is going to run out. You know what I'm saying? It's going
to
catch up.
He kept doing that every time he needed to get over the hump, he went and did it.
Right, he got over the hump, and then you stop. Because if you keep on doing it, what's going to happen? They're going to notice you, and they're going to start asking questions or somebody. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's just part of the game. And for her to have morals, I mean, that's a whole other.
Remember the theme song, keeping your heads above water, making a way when you can.
Temporary layoff.
Good time.
Good time.
Temporary ripoff.
No matter what, they was going to have.
Right, and I think that was the show itself, you know.
That's what it was supposed
when
to
you
say.
No matter
good
what
time.
I have to agree with what Sun said now, that they did spend money on stupid things. Like, why are they spending money on Delma having ballerina lessons and her taking singing lessons and all sorts of other jobs? If you ain't got no money, you ain't got no money. Why are you paying for singing lessons and y'all ain't got no meat?
But
y'all ain't kicking the last thing.
That's
the point I'm trying to make, that black people got money for whatever they want money for. So when you think about it, they could have been got the hell out of those projects. Okay, if they really wanted they could have got out of there. Okay.
Alderman Davis got them in there and helped them hold on to that apartment.
Yeah,
Alderman Davis was there for them. But he was a crook.
Remember, he almost kicked them out.
He wanted them to back him because he knew that they had a voice in the community. And people listened to Wilona and Florida and James. So he wanted their backing. Because, see, people, you know, Florida, oh, she's such a good person. And that was his project family. So he came down and he needed backing.
As much of a crook as he was, you know how that was.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
The Alderman.
Yeah, he was a crook. The Alderman.
He was a crook. Alderman was a crook.
Like the state congressperson or something.
He covered them. He covered them to keep himself in, and he showed up every time it was election time. Oh, my family's a heaven. It's Alderman
okay.
Davis coming to support me, you know?
Another thing that I wanted to touch up on with James and why I'm kind of furious with James. I mean, I'm furious with James and Esther both the same. But the thing about it is that James hardly boarded any money, okay? He hardly kept a job, okay? And on top of that, he was so damn prideful that he wouldn't even put his family on welfare. So
right.
He just
that,
didn't want to do, I mean, he was just, for what, I mean, he didn't want anything. He didn't want to comply with anything.
But that was black men, period, as far as
back
pride
then.
Is concerned. That
yeah.
was black men, period, back then.
Because
like,
they made it so
I'm not going to the white man. You know, that was the number one,
okay, that
you
was
know,
black, but,
rule. I mean, now it's, you know, everybody on the line now. You know, they don't
well,
care. They go there. I got to go get my food stamps. But, you know, back then, that was a...
But
you know.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is that maybe he didn't have to wear them same corduroy damn pants every day. And he wouldn't have had, you know, his kids sleeping in the same damn bed, two big-ass, you know, boys sleeping in the same bed together. He could have moved them out of there and got them someplace else. And I think that, you know what, it wasn't because he wasn't afforded opportunity, okay? He waited until, he could have went to school. Because remember, he got mad
yep.
because Florida went to school.
Yep.
Okay, so he could have went to school right along with it. At the end of the episode, he decided to go and finish.
Right.
But why didn't he do this a long time ago and get his family the hell up out of there? And then he got nasty with anybody that even looked like they were a little bit successful in him. He got an attitude with them. You
yeah.
know?
But that was black men. That was the pride back then. That's pride
he
right there. That's all
the
ego. Problem. That's man, period.
But it wasn't really, but it
that's
wasn't
why
really
I got
like that. Like, look, you know, like, one thing about the whole Evans family is that the most unrealistic part about them is that they didn't utilize none of these survival skills that you know other people that lived in that project building was using.
Would have done.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, JJ got tied up with drugs at one time, and he was, you know, he got tied up in the pimp game. Messing around with Sweet Daddy. What was his name? Sweet Daddy.
Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's being as though, you know, you talk about living in the project. It's a concentration of poor people. You know what I mean? So they're going to make a way, you know. So the one thing that they didn't do was make a way. But what,
right.
what really has to be understood about
realize.
The whole Good Time thing, well, What thing that needs to be understood about the whole show Good Times and all of those socially conscious shows that was coming out at the time was they was all written and produced, created and produced by Norman Lear, you know, and
right.
Norman Lear was a liberal Jew playwright at the time, you know, show creator, whatever, show writer, and he wanted to show a poor black family living in the project that was projected some reality of the poverty of a poverty situation, but still showing that listen, they don't turn to drugs and crime
right.
and the influences of their environment, and you shouldn't think that all black people that are in their position would do that either. However,
well,
you
right.
might have missed the mark a little bit. You know
he did a lot,
And
but
this
was, is
still
I guess a
quote unquote comedy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Right.
We're
if they got
about
out, if they
time.
Got out the project, would it still have been Good Times? Like you know,
time.
you gotta
look,
also
look
at
look,
it. That's
they,
like that's.
Look,
no, I'm just saying though. If you look at
it
like that, like if they if you succeed or if you do something, and there's no longer the plot, then there's no longer no story. So there's no longer no show. So, you know,
right.
certain things that you're like, well, if you would have did this, you would have been out. Yeah, that sounds good. But you got to understand they're trying to make this, you know, they're trying to make that story stretch. So certain
well, it,
times
you'd
be like, oh, obviously,
you know what?
If you would have sold that parent, they could have been a millionaire. But, you know, it's still. You know
I've
what?
Never thought about it before. But Good Times was sort of like a black Gilligan's Island.
That's
right.
Island. They didn't
right.
Island.
Right.
Exactly.
They would have got off the island. Same thing. If they would have got off the island, it would have been no one show, right?
Thank you.
Exactly.
Everybody came to their island. But their door, and the funny thing, their door was never locked. Everybody just walked in the door. Every now and then it was locked, but most of the time it was open. Willona popped in. Bookman popped in. Everybody just popped on in. Reality.
But there was a house like that, though. There was a house on the block like that, though. There really was a house on the block that everybody just walked in.
What
you
up, Bobby?
How you know,
like,
and you, everybody calls. Right,
normally in that house, normally in houses where the door is open all the time, it's normally a house where it's like a speakeasy type of joint. Somebody getting high, drinking or something.
But not that respectable.
Look, even if they ain't selling something, somebody's drinking at the table. You know what I mean?
Well,
that's,
they drank Kool-Aid a lot.
Yeah,
they had them some Kool-Aid, right?
All right,
y'all. They had nothing. They had them some Kool-Aid.
To everyone listening, you're listening to Brick House. We are now coming up on 8:40, 20 minutes to 9 o'clock. We're talking about good times. We're talking about this, you know, just basically good times. And we're dissecting good times, actually, which is what we're doing. And this whole thing, really, the whole topic of good times really needs to be sort of like a subject for a thesis, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
I would have been happy if good times, if they would have packed all of their shit, if they would have packed it all and just would have been on their way out the door, decide at the last minute they ain't getting nothing, then I would have been satisfied with that. Like, well, y'all almost made it out the project. But it was just like they were always, and then they brought this dude in there with Thelma. Oh, God, it's going to be still. We got to move on. We got to move along from James. Because there's so much other stuff that we need to cover.
Really
okay,
is.
Let's talk about the kids. We talked about Florida a little bit, but let's talk about the kids. Let's talk about Michael and his militants. Because like, nobody wasn't really to discuss there with her. Michael was a little soldier. Okay.
Yeah.
And I like Michael because a lot of the times he went against the grain. He went against mom and he went against dad. And he was willing to take that ass whipping like a champ. Because he believed, you know, he believed in what
he
was, you know, what he was talking about.
What he wrote or what he said, he stuck with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and I liked him for that. But sometimes he would just get on my last nerve, too. Sometimes he was just a little bit too black. He'd get on my little nerve. Like, you just shut up
too
sometimes.
Black.
No, he was a little bit too black sometimes. You know, like, you know, he would always be like, well, daddy, a black man. The way he used to say black used to drive me crazy.
Boy,
you know,
white racist word. Don't call him boy.
Yeah. You know, like you said, boy, if you don't get this to that, boy is a white racist word. I was like, okay.
If we had
you know,
said
so,
that, we would have been smacked in the mouth for saying it to our parents. You didn't just say that, you know.
And, you know, in Florida, you know, she wasn't really about, James was a disciplinarian. He pulled that belt off in a minute, you know.
Yep.
And he would get to whooping. And I think that, you know, the whole dynamic of the show changed once James died.
It did.
I think it changed dramatically. And it's not for the better, as far as I'm concerned.
It went downhill.
I don't think it changed for the better. What do you think about the fact that James, do you think, well, if you know anything behind the scenes, Crush, we were talking earlier about the character of James and why, well, the actor, John Amos, and why he decided to leave, because it was a dispute. I mean, you were telling me earlier about that, right?
Right. A dispute because they wanted to focus more on JJ. And, you know, JJ was the silly character. He was the one cracking the jokes and dynamite and stuff like that. And they wanted to focus more on him and the father was like, no, let's keep it the way it is. Where the father was the disciplinary, and, you know, he was the head of the home. And he couldn't get with that. He didn't like the fact that y'all want to go and make light of the situation, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And wanted to make it famous and wanted to be
black. Wait a minute. But really, Florida was supposed to be the centerpiece of the show. That was her show.
Yeah, from she came off of Mars. She was the maid on Mars.
Was her,
and that became, that was supposed to be her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was supposed to be her show.
Right.
And
but
they
I'm talking about as far as the,
most,
right.
But then she
but I guess they wanted to make
so
JJ more
had
of a...
Well, yeah. Well, when he left, it changed, you know, the dynamic of the show drastically, where she was now a single mother.
Uh-huh.
And that didn't quite sit right with the character Esther Rowe. The actress Esther Rowe, who played
right.
Florida Evans. That didn't
right.
sit right with her. Okay. And she didn't like the fact that because she was wanted it based on a strong married couple. You know, she wanted that whole thing based on that structure of them being a strong married family. And, you know, when he left, because he was sick and tired of the nonsense, when he left, it became weird. Like she said, they wanted it to basically, once that term dynamite was born, that's
right.
when everything really kind of went down. Because if you notice,
right.
every episode, he was saying dynamite.
How many times?
Right.
You know,
and put them hands up and walk like some kind of bird.
Exactly. You know, and they said that as the series progressed through the second and third year, both of them, you know, the mother and father, Esther Rowe and John Amos, they said they grew increasingly disillusioned with the direction the show was taking with JJ's
right.
character. You know,
right.
they said it was stereotypical buffoonery. You know, and they basically was quoted in Ebony magazine saying he's 18, he doesn't work, he can't read or write, he doesn't think.
Right.
The show didn't start out to be like that. Little by little,
no.
with the help of the artists, I suppose, because they couldn't do that to me, they made JJ more stupid and enlarged the role. Negative
right.
images have been slipped in on us and the characters of the oldest child. That's
right.
what they both said to Ebony magazine.
Right.
So they basically
because
said that, you know, you couldn't make James, you know, all of a sudden do a 360 and be a clown. Florida
right.
Evans was too spiritual, so you did it to JJ.
Right.
You know, you
right.
turned JJ into this. And at the time, the actor, the character of Jimmy Walker, if you look at his bio, he was just, they discovered him in the Bronx. Actually, he's from the Bronx. They discovered him in the Bronx and gave him a job. He was poor. He didn't know where his next meal was coming from. So, of course, he's on TV. He's going to try to
right.
make the most of what he can make out of it. So, if they say
right.
tap, he's going to tap.
He was tapping.
You know, he was tapping. Now, whereas John Amos and Esther Rowe were already established
yeah.
actors already. They were already out there, had a name for themselves.
Right.
And I mean, can I really fault JJ for trying to eat? No, I can't.
No.
Especially when he was starving all
but
those other
you
things.
Also, you also have to remember that I have said this before, is that they were all like spinoffs from the whole old
right.
family, the Jeffersons, which had dominant male lead
oh.
roles. As well.
All in the Family
spins
off all the shows. That was the main show
right.
that spinned them all off.
Spend
all in the
all
Family.
Right.
Yep.
So, but
and
all of them had lead, they all had lead male roles. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson had George, All in the Family had Archie. So, you know, you also got to look at it like that as well as far as them, you know, bumping heads, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the only one that
and
didn't
so,
do that was Maude. Maude was the lead in that show, and she was
yeah,
over her.
Right. He was a spinoff, right.
Yeah, that's the one that she spent off.
Good Time was a spinoff of Maude, and that was a spinoff of All in the Family, and that was where you get the Jefferson from.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, that producer, Norman Lear, produced all of those shows.
He produced,
right.
yeah.
Yeah,
and
when he left,
what
that's when the Foolishness
to
took over.
JJ show, I heard. And one time they wanted to do JJ just by himself. But they realized he couldn't do it by himself.
But see, then that, when he left in 1976, when James left, and the following year, Florida had had enough, she left, because what they did and what I couldn't understand either, and I'm glad that she addressed it, because I caught it, when they get her hooked up with this new guy, this
yes.
guy who worked for, Michael worked for him, and the guy was an atheist.
Yes.
Why would you put a God-fearing woman to marry an atheist. That made
because
no
she just
sense
wanted
to me.
A man. Say she just wanted a man. That makes it that's normal thing. A woman just
that
wants
it was
a man.
Ridiculous. She thought
right.
it was ridiculous. She thought that was the last straw
yeah.
for her. Because she said, there's no way on earth Florida Evans, as spiritual as she was, having Jesus hanging that house, praying
with,
to the picture, always
right.
talking to the Lord, you're going to match her with an atheist? Come on.
Yeah, that,
I
that
didn't
was,
like
that
the way
was,
that
was
done.
That was
stupid.
Real whack.
That was
I mean, that's
really...
the stupidest thing.
Well, that was
they
just to show that
up.
This woman wanted a man, and if, even though he was an
yeah,
atheist,
forgot,
she was
I forgot that dude was an atheist.
Yeah, Carl was an atheist all the
yeah.
time. And she
Carl
said,
Dixon,
oh, Lord,
right.
one
yeah.
time. One time
Carl
he said,
Dixon
oh, you called on the Lord. And he said, well, it was automatic. You know, there
yeah.
was always
you know, I didn't like
stuff.
That.
Because Michael
was
becoming an atheist.
Sense.
That
so,
made no sense.
That was in the
right,
park.
Then they made Willona, the sister, I think, the guardian, right?
Oh, we need
yeah.
to discuss Willona. We need to really
yeah.
get into Willona. Because,
Willona
see, I want to know... What was Willona's role other than the nosy best friend neighbor? What was her role?
She was a...
I think that was it.
She was a Jackie.
She was a Jackie.
Well,
she was
the
first Jackie.
Worked in the boutique.
Remember 227?
Worked in the boutique.
Huh?
Go ahead.
What did you say?
I said she worked in the boutique. So
okay.
She had a job.
Let me ask you this. Does anyone ever remember, I want y'all to think real deep, have y'all ever remembered Willona lending that family money?
No.
She never gave him a dime.
Nope.
What,
never helped him out?
You know what? You
never
know, I don't
dime?
Know how they do it. I don't know how they do it in Chicago, but I know in Philly, you ain't getting no project apartment. If you solo dolo, you know what I mean? If you don't have no kids, you can't get I always wonder how they, you know, I was like, they really selling some crazy shit on this show. I know everybody that lives in the project had to be watching that like, well, what the fuck is this?
How is she living in the same building?
Right, but, you know, she was the official, to me, she was the official Jackie from 227.
Mm-hmm.
That single lady with no kids that's able to do... what she wanted, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? She had that way of thinking, that independent woman, strong black woman thinking, and she brought that element to it.
That was
well, long,
that was Florida's friend from childhood. They
right.
were childhood friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
oh,
and
was, oh,
she
was
married when she was born.
Wasn't 227 in D.C.?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
and that wasn't
yeah.
the project.
They wasn't in the project.
No, they wasn't in the project in 227.
They weren't
project
based.
Yeah.
They
was
in
a
brownstone.
They was
like a
brownstone,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they was in a brownstone.
But what I didn't understand was, like he's right. I mean, she ended up in there as a single woman, you
right.
know, living in the projects with them. And she
mm-hmm.
was successful from what I saw. I mean, she had a bad
yeah.
house. She had nice clothes. She always had on some new clothes, a new wig, something.
Yeah.
Always dressed nice. And she would always mooch off of their dinner. I ain't never seen her bring nothing down and say, here, this is for dinner. She would always sit there
she
and mooch dinner
cook.
Off of them.
She couldn't cook.
Okay,
she
and all we knew
was
that she had
cook.
An ex-husband. She couldn't cook.
Yeah.
Okay, well
she
don't
cook.
Know how to bring up down some meat and say, Florida, cook this for us for dinner?
She was Gail.
Why? If
she was Gail.
Do that when they go offering for you. You know, we all have those people who will come in. If you don't ever say bring something, they're going to come and eat as long as you let them.
Well, she
we
was off for them for the longest time. They could barely feed their kids. Okay, Florida always had one little pot on the stove with some chicken sitting in it. And here she goes sitting down at the table. I was like, did she ever even bring a nickel, a dime, you know, a tomato in the door,
she
a piece of lettuce?
She has brought a cake. She brought a cake. She brought chips. She brought something that nobody wanted to eat. I can't remember what it was because she wasn't sure if it was done right. And James told her to put it on the cabinet.
I think of fruitcake.
I don't remember this woman ever giving Florida a dime, even when they didn't have the rent. She ain't never said, here go $10, Florida. Nothing. Never. She
well,
never hooked up.
For the anniversary when they went to the cabinet. She bought them Chinese outfits for them.
The Chinese pajamas. I remember that, man.
Yes, yeah, she did give them that.
Oh, I remember that. I mean,
you know
I think Winona just served no permit. And then she got the little Penny girl. She got Janet Jackson, you know, from the mother. I thought that was so silly the way they did that whole thing.
I mean, they just wanted her in it.
It was just silly.
But see, Winona could have been gone when she had the rich guy that wanted to marry her that was doing that, and he came back and she said, "Oh, I can't go because of Penny." Now, before the first time she couldn't go, why she couldn't go? Just because she wasn't ready. She wasn't sure. And he came back for her, "Oh, I can't because of Penny."
Damn,
okay,
lady,
really? This man is gonna can put her in private school, and you gonna sit here and say I'd rather stay here and struggle. He done bought the boutique for you to run,
Lord.
So that you can have income and just go. But you gonna say no, I want to do this myself.
Where that guy at? He need to come back.
I'm ready.
Come back.
They had a lot of characters that came on the show. From over the years, they had a lot of visitors. They had a lot of characters that helped to shape the show. We all know about Ned the Wino. You know, he was somebody that we could all identify with, I guess. You know, they had what's the dude's name? Lenny. That's the guy who used to walk around.
Yeah, Lenny. With Lenny. My name is Lenny.
My name is Lenny. If I ain't got it, there ain't any.
That's
sweet daddy. Then Florida's cousin, who was the gambler, who gave her the $10,000 cashier's check.
Oh, yeah, took it back.
And she gave it back to him because he was on a streak of bad luck. You would have been on a streak of bad luck on your own.
Yeah. Okay.
You left it to the bank with it. You didn't even take it to the bank, really.
We had Sweet Daddy Williams, who was the resident loan shark. I think that's what Sud brought up earlier that JJ was working for. And did he work for him or did he work with some other drug dealers? Remember the episode where JJ worked with some other drug dealers?
He moved out with his friends. He moved out with some friends. And he worked with them, and he hid up in the broom closet and came back home. When they got raided,
he was in the broom closet.
And it was the people couldn't find him.
I thought that was ridiculous.
I
guess Narcs didn't look in broom closets back then.
Oh, they looked, but they didn't see him. They looked all over, they didn't see him. And it was like, look at where his ass at. And he opened up after they left. I was like, now how the hell he didn't see him?
Right.
But they didn't see him. He got off.
I guess
Pops
didn't hang around the scene back then.
Okay, do y'all guys remember when Thelma was going to marry the African dude?
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
eBay.
He was in college.
That was
eBay.
The original eBay.
Okay, guys. All right, you're listening to Brick's House. We're talking and laughing and acting silly about good times, dissecting the characters. It is now coming up on 9 o'clock. We're going to take a 3-song break here. We're going to put a little break in here so y'all can go wet your whistle, get some water, bop your head to the music. And we're going to play this 3-song set for you. When we come back, we're going to talk about present day. We're going to talk about right now and how what's going on now relates to back then, to good times. We're going to talk about if they ever got out of the projects, okay. And we're also going to close out our topic on good times, just talking about how is this a good show? Is this something we need to show our children? Is this a show that needs to go on and on and on? Should we, like, lock this in a treasure chest somewhere and never look at it again? Yo, you'd be surprised what people think. So, let's get into this 3-song set. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the present day, good times now as it was. We're going to talk about the good times that's going on right now, basically. We're going to talk about that when we come right back. Okay? Be right back.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, international, underground, thunderbound when I stop the ground. Like a million elephants, a silverback, orangutans, you can't stop a train. Who wants up, don't come unprepared, I'll be there. But when I leave there, better be a household name. Brother man telling us it ain't gonna rain. So now we sitting in a drop top soaking wet. In a silk suit, trying not to sweat. It's summer cause without the net. But this be the year that we won't forget. 1999.
Well, I beg your pardon. Want to forever down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at his command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be saved from Satan. Devil way down in the
something about my song choices. I know she is. So let me just bring her on and listen to it right now. Crush always has something to say about my song choices. Let's hear it.
Nothing to say about your song choices. except the fact that, huh? I'm gonna give you the Black Reporter. Huh? You know what? What?
I went all over the place there, didn't I? Well,
you went all over the world.
Yes, I did. I went all over the world.
You went time travel with your ass.
Yes, I did. Well, we first started off with, what did I start off with? Gosh. You see, I was so into the music. That was Ashford and Simpson, Babies. Ashford and Simpson, the throwback.
Really?
The
that's what that was?
Yes, that was Ashford and Simpson. See, you didn't even know. You wouldn't know. Shut up, 80s baby. You wouldn't know.
I know, right?
You would just Google and gaga when that was out. Okay.
I wasn't even there, and I was swimming around in the nutsack like hell.
There you are. You was in the nutsack like hell.
I was in the nutsack like hell. Let's just keep it. Let's just keep it gangster.
Okay.
Second
song.
Sun 752. You know about this, Sun 752? You know about that?
Sun 752.
Yeah, I know.
See, you know.
The second one was
B.O.B., Bungalow Baghdad. That was from Outkast from the album Stankonia, which is one of my favorite albums. And you know what that last one was, son?
Yeah, from The Wire.
From The Wire. Yeah, that was Five Blonde Boys of Alabama. Devil in the Hole, Way Down in the Hole. And that is from The Wire. That's where I fell in love with the song from, I ain't gonna lie. But, that was the song from The Wire. And I dedicated that to Black Reporter, but he wasn't even on, you know, the phone.
Right.
What the hell? You know, just kind of defeats the purpose. That's why I donate nothing else to him, ever, again. But, welcome back. And we're talking about good times. And now we're going to get into present day. Okay, let's start with the boys. Is Black Reporter back? No? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's start with you, son. Do you believe that we're living in a present-day good time state? Like, you know people that are actually... Do you think we've evolved at all? Have we come up at all? Have we overcome?
Well, that's some difference. You know what I mean? But you got to take it on a case-by-case basis. You know, like, from my standpoint, until all of us have really made it to the point where we're really making a difference, when white people can say, like, yeah, you know, niggas really have come a long way, then I don't think that we can take any individual achievement and still look at it like a glaring hope. Like, you know, when we still are becoming the first black that, when we still are making those kind of strides, that lets you know that we haven't advanced all that much. We're still in the same boat, you know. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as the hood is concerned, I'm in the hood every day, so I see that the most advancements that I see is that white people are coming back to the hood, basically taking it over. So
mm-hmm.
I don't think we've gotten really far. I think some of us have made adaptations to be able to provide for their family, but I think we've always been able to do that. We always had shining star here. But overall, we was all really struggling hard, and
mm-hmm.
without the educational resources to understand the conditions that we're in, we ain't really going nowhere. Not yet. So it's still a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Crush.
Hmm.
Yeah, you go. Where did you get the Black Reporter bug? Oh, like, wait a minute.
You know I'll be multitasking. You know I'll be multitasking.
All right, we'll come back to you. What do you think, ladies?
No. Are we in good times? Are we good times? How good times? Are TV good times? Or
have we overcome?
Have we overcome? Hell to the no. We haven't overcome. What we have done, though, is we've lost focus. That I do believe we've lost focus on, we got caught up in the hype. You know, instead of us wanting to change better and work on our family situation, because that's where it all starts. It all starts at the home. Instead of us working on our home situation and our family situation and you know, just getting ourselves in check, we got caught up with the Joneses. We want to be like the Kardashians and the Sean Puffy Combs and things of that nature. And I think our focus isn't where it needs to be. So until
mm-hmm.
we can get that, until we can get that situated, we'll always be undercome, not overcome.
Mm-hmm. Lady
yep.
Saint.
Well, I agree with Crush in a way. I think it's better, but then we fell into the rut. Everybody is accepting, you know, like James didn't want the help, but now it's okay. Like she said, everybody will get in line for food stamps. Everybody will get in line for assistance. And instead of trying to say, I want to work, and then, although it's hard to find work, but any job is better than no job. And so many people will say, if I don't have a job, I can get food stamps, and I could just live with my mama and get my food stamps instead of going out trying to find some job to start somewhere. The programs are out there, and we have accepted what society hands us. A lot of people get in the handout line, and they ain't got out of it. They just want to stay in, and they pass it down through generations. Get a handout. Have children, get a handout. And it was set up so that women would not need a man in the home so that they could get more assistance. So women get hooked on that. If he's not here, if he just comes by and give me some and go, I can get more help than if he's here in the home and we a family.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a family, it makes it harder for you to get help,
mm.
you know. And, like, it starts with family. First of all, you got to grow the family, strengthen the family, and encourage each other.
Mm.
You know, we don't encourage each other. We don't push our children. And they, okay, doctor, lawyer, those are good jobs. But
Janitor is a good job if you can make it and pay your bills. It's a good job to be a janitor. It's a good job to be a manager at McDonald's if you're making the money to take care of your home. You don't have to be a football player, basketball player, or rapper. Get a good job. A funeral home director is a good job if you can make the money that will supply. Working in the plant, it's a good job. But everybody gets stuck on the glamour, and they forget to look at there are people who's supporting the glamour behind the scenes. Those are good jobs. And all we look at is what's in front of the scenes. And we got to encourage our children. You may not become a doctor, but go to school and see what makes you happy where you can survive and live and be able to say, I bought my home. I bought me a car that goes from just point A to point B, and I got to put some oil in it or tape it up. You know?
Good grief.
It comes to us.
Well, in my opinion, I think that I agree with what everybody said. I think that we need to just, we've become a little bit too familiar and too comfortable. Now, instead of aspiring to lead the projects, we aspire to get in the projects.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people who are trying to get in.
It's cheaper.
You know, they figure once they get in, they'll have it made. You know, because they don't have to pay lights and gas and anything like that. It's just one flat rate rent, you know. I know a lot of people who are trying to, you know, are conditionally or just basically just unconditionally just throwing themselves into shelters just so that they can qualify for a subsidy, just so that they can go take that subsidy and go and rent a house somewhere or rent an apartment somewhere for Section 8.
Right.
You know? I think that we have become, I think that it's the same now, except it's ghetto fabulous. I think that what you have now is what you would have had then. Let's just say if James decided, you know what, I'm going to send Michael to run numbers for Sweet Daddy Williams. Or
right.
Florida was, you know, doing afros in her kitchen, you know. Or James was still in the back with a bunch of radios or whatever, whatever. Because remember, they did stuff like that to get by, too, thanks to people's radios and stuff like that. So I think that it would have been the same situation. They would have been living ghetto fabulous, too. I don't think that their riches would have catapulted them out the ghetto, and I think that it was kind of unrealistic for them to think that JJ was going to paint them out the ghetto. I'm going to be totally honest. I think that, you know, it was a nice dream, but for them to think that JJ was that damn good, that he was going to actually get them out the ghetto with those paintings was really unrealistic. I think it was really unrealistic. I mean, I'm sorry for being a dream killer, but it just didn't make any sense to me. I think that the only way out then would have been hard work and education. Okay? They sat up there and busted behind and sent them to college and all this other stuff. And, you know, and it's kind of like the kids were, I think, the same way they are now. You know, they didn't take it to heart where, okay, like when Thelma was, she got suspended from school. She didn't think about the fact that, you know, her father and mother bust their ass to pay that college tuition to get her in that school, or she got a scholarship to get in there. She was just like, oh, well, it's not fair that the food in the cafeteria sucks, so we're going to strike. And got her ass thrown out of school for that nonsense. You know, then she talked about moving in with that African. I think that it's the same stuff going on now that was going on then. It's just now that blacks have been more complacent, and it's ghetto fabulous now. Now it's like, you know, the end thing to do. You know, like she said, you got people with sneakers on, you know, they can't even pay the light bill, but they got expensive sneakers on their feet. People are ghetto fabulous now, and I think that, you know, it says a lot to what was going on back then, that it's still going on now. Politicians are still as crooked, you know, now as they were back then. You know, there's still gang violence out there. Michael got caught up in a gang how many times? There's still gang violence out there.
Right.
You know, there's still drug abuse. Back then it was heroin. Now it's crack. You know, they were still unemployed except for the unemployed, the chronically unemployed who didn't qualify for anything. You got the unemployed who's on unemployment insurance. You know?
But,
child abuse,
you know,
is going on back then as it is now, except that it's, I think it's even worse now because, you know, these caseworkers, they're not following up. Kids are dying in foster
right.
care now. and stuff like that. STDs, back in the days, the biggie was gonorrhea. Today we're fighting HIV/AIDS, you know? So it's a lot of things. You know, the foster care system sucks. It's a lot of things that were basically going on now. You had welfare then. You have welfare now. You know, back then, you know, James didn't want to get on welfare. Now, like you have now, you have men who knock women off the line to get on welfare. Okay?
Yep.
I know guys that got benefit cards and all that other stuff, all these welfare cards and everything. And I'm like, there's no shame in their game.
Mm-mm.
Like,
right.
I do think that part is missing, the fact that, you know, James was prideful. Maybe he was too prideful. Here,
mm-hmm.
now, men are not prideful enough.
Mm-hmm.
To say that, you know, this is not something, this is not good. This is not something I want to have. When I was younger and
they didn't have that by any means necessary attitude.
Exactly.
Back then you had that by any means necessary. If I had to rob, kick, steal, stab, or whatever to get stuff for my family, then I was going to provide for my family. Now, the first thing they do, as soon as you tell them I'm pregnant, they run it. You know,
they
so, gone. You know, they're not held responsible. You know what I'm saying? So that's another thing as well.
Yeah.
You know, so,
I think
it happened back then, but now it's just, it's becoming a nuisance.
It's beyond nuisance. It's to the point where now, what are we going to, you know, try to rebuild? You know, we need to build.
The family.
I know,
before you can build anything, you need to rebuild the family structure. And that's something
right.
we don't have.
Okay, we
and
don't have
that
yet.
That's my whole belief. I really do believe that. Like
yeah.
before you can do anything, before I can require anything from anybody, my structure, my family structure need to be intact.
But you know what?
My family needs to be my first priority.
It does, but you know what? That's putting my destiny in somebody else's hands. I can't make somebody do right. You understand what I'm saying? I can only do right. So this means, I really hope that this doesn't mean that you're going to put everything that you have to do to build on hold until you can find a man that acts right?
Wait,
no.
What? I didn't say that.
you said that you got to put your family together.
Family
okay,
does
family.
Not consist of just a man. Good grief.
No, I didn't say just a man, but you said we got to put our families together. And I said, okay, I agree with that. I agree, but we still need to build, and I'm not going to let, I thought you were talking about the family in the sense of man, woman, child, family, like that.
I'm talking about family, period, and sometimes, and nowadays, it's not going to consist of man, woman, child. It's going to
okay,
consist
so,
of woman, woman, man, man, child,
okay,
child,
so let me ask
whatever,
you.
Whatever
okay.
it may be.
You
whatever
said
it
you
may
have to
be, it still
straight.
Need to be some structure. If the man is not at my house physically, he still need to be in my child's life.
Okay.
Period.
So what's the structure?
If it's a parent, I'm not
so,
saying.
Okay, so what's the structure you're talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that it takes two to co-parent a child. It takes
okay.
a village to raise a child.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about, you know, oh, I got to wait for him to do this and do that. No.
But that's what I meant.
That.
Yes,
you
do. If you're waiting for him to do right by your child, he may never do right by your child. He may never. He may say, you know what, crush, I hear what you're saying, boo, but I ain't down with that shit. And bounce. So does that mean you're going to stop until he comes around? Or
but that's not
say,
happening. But see, that's the thing. That's not happening. So it sounds good. I hear what you're saying, but that's not what's happening. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the issue now. That's the issue everybody's having a problem with, is the fact that we're not stopping and we're not sitting and we're not waiting for him to get his act together. In fact, it's the complete opposite. We're moving on. You know, I mean, I understand, like, in today's society, we can say everything is, you know, fucked up. But, you know, when it comes to a role of a woman, we do way beyond than what people may think. You know, and at the end of the day, I've heard men out of their own mouth blame women for the destruction of the family structure, period, for the simple fact that we are working. We are trying to better our education. We are playing the role of the mama, the daddy, the provider, the uncle, the sister, and everything in between without the help from other families and things of that nature. So, but, you know, that's just...
Well, I don't understand their argument. I wish I could get one of them alone because I would have them explain
right.
it to
me
how you figure you don't have
really,
your shit together.
They really
how that
say, like,
me.
You know, our kids, it's our fault the way our kids are talking back to us and you know, they want to run in gangs, they want to do this, they want to do that because we're not home enough and so forth and so forth. You know, and I do believe that, you know, she didn't have that baby by herself. You know what
right.
I'm saying? And if we can get in a perfect world, this would be, like you said, if there was an answer to it, I do believe that in a perfect world, if we can get these men to man up, so to speak, and take initiative and get that essence back to, you know, to be proud. You know what I mean? To be proud to be a provider and to be
mm-hmm.
strong. And I'm not saying this about all men. I don't know all men, so please don't beat me up, men out there. Do not beat me up later on. Send me a text message talking about I suck. Not saying all men. Just saying some men. And, it, you know, we have a lot of people out here that don't have a role model. And your role model don't have to be a millionaire. That's my thing.
No, it don't.
You know, it doesn't have to be. Your role model don't have to be a millionaire. Your role model can be your next-door neighbor as long as he's going to work. And you pointing out the fact that this man is taking care of his family, that can be your role model.
Yeah. Encouraging him. Giving him some structure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a village. It used to be growing up, and when I grew up, Everybody in my neighbor, we all had big families. My mom had 10.
Mm-hmm.
One neighbor had 13. The smallest family was 4.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody knew, and if you did something, somebody's sister so-and-so could tell you, stop, and you stop. And it wasn't a big deal because you knew by the time you got home, your mom knew what happened. Nowadays, you tell the child, don't do that. They look at you, may call you anything else, and if you tell the mama, she get mad because you're telling her child. Like she says, the family, you got to start, the parents got, it takes us all to try to keep the children from ending up in the game, in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
No 7-year-old should be walking the streets. This was the Easter week down here. They was out of school. Kids outside at 9 o'clock, 7 and 8 and 12, walking around, they making noise. Who's you doing out this time of night? You should be in the house. But you can't say nothing to them because you're not allowed to say nothing to nobody else's child nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
shit, the child's going to pull something out and beat you with it.
Thank
like,
you.
Wait, what?
Roll their eyes at you and want to, if they may have a mama, uncle, somebody's gun and want to pull out, shoot you, you know. So
mm-hmm.
you can't say, yeah, it starts with family and we got to build the family. If you're just a single parent, you need help. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It let the children know. Somebody else can tell you to stop. If I can't be there, they may not can beat you, but they can tell you to stop, and you need to listen. And it comes with respecting people. We were not allowed to say, huh, what, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, was what I was brought up with.
Mm-hmm.
These kids say, huh, what you want? And look at you.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Curse you out.
Okay.
Fuck you. Like,
yeah.
Wait, what? My dick. Like, wait, what little boy?
You want me to work?
I can't have no kids. I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell with flashes. I be getting. Fuck you. You ain't my mom.
Do what?
Me want to yoke them up. What little boy? Suck my dick, lady.
But see, it starts at home. It starts at home. If the family finds, oh, that's cute. He being cute. And then when they get out in public,
right,
they
I've seen that.
Oh,
I really have seen that. Right.
Girl,
the kid was 2 years
old. Did you not stop him?
Right, I've seen it. I've seen it happen. The kid was 2 years old. Suck my dick. And they was killing. And I tell you, to this day, she could tell that boy, go to the store, he look at her, shut up, and walk away. What? And that's his mama. You know, so I've seen that happen in my old hood. Like, really?
No, you don't say what? You smack that child in their mouth. It may be child abuse, but that child, remember, I told somebody yesterday in church, I remember what kept me from getting in more trouble than what I got in is what my mom and dad were going to do. Thinking about that ass whooping kept me out of a lot of trouble. Because I knew if I got caught, that was a serious ass whooping. My mom told, okay, go ahead. You shoplift and let me have to come get you. Went to the store for a girl. We got caught. She was shoplifted. I shook the shit out of her. And the man had to grab me. I said, what are you doing stealing? No, they're going to call my mom and them. And he says, calm down. No, they're going to call my mama. Like, no.
Shook the shit out of her.
I was thinking, you still it? You still it? No. Thought you knew. No, I didn't know. My mama just told me. They had to come get me. Just call 911. Go to the hospital. We're going to take you straight to the hospital. So that made you think. Nowadays, the children don't have no repercussions. Time out. What is time out?
Okay. Y'all something else.
Okay. How are we something else?
Back to the good times discussion.
You asked. That's what you keep asking.
All right.
What did James do on good times? Pull that belt out.
Anybody know the whole the good times theme song? Nobody knows it?
Let me see.
Don't be Googling it, Crush. I know you.
You know it.
You're like, let me see.
I Googled that bitch. Like, I don't know what.
Good times.
I get the lyrics.
Anytime you make a payment, good times. Every time you meet a friend, good times.
Good times.
Mm-hmm. It's time to wonder. Not getting hassled. Not getting hustled.
Yeah.
Keeping your head above water. Making a way where you can. Yeah. Temporary layoff. Good times.
Easy
credit rip-off.
Off good times. Ain't we lucky we got them?
Snatching in, surviving. Good times. I forgot what that line was. Hanging in a something.
Child line.
Child line, hanging in the child line. Good times. Ain't we lucky we got them? Good times.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah. Hold. That hanging in the child line was wrong. Because what they were saying was hanging and a jiving. And
I know the child line.
Nah,
I
wasn't
child
no child line. What is a child line? Don't go
like, hanging
out.
You ain't
hanging
like
in
when
a
you're
jiving.
Going against,
hanging,
like.
No, hanging in
yeah,
a jiving.
I know you're I know you're talking about free food, but that wasn't the real lyrics of the song. That's all. It was hanging and a job. Nah, they came out saying that it was a child line, but then everybody was.
But it should have been
like,
jiving.
That don't sound like what they're saying. Yeah, it was hanging and a jiving.
Yeah, hanging in and jiving. They hanging in together and they jiving out what's going on. So
yeah,
hanging in a jiving. Okay.
We can't
that's what y'all
that
say.
Was good to us.
That's what y'all say. Okay.
If you listen to it, I'm going to have to speak it right to your ear. You'll hear it.
All right. What's your favorite Good Times episode? Everybody tell me what your favorite Good Times episode was and why.
Favorite episode.
Anything when you said, I don't mind.
What's your favorite Good Times episode, Crush?
I don't know. Is that an answer?
You don't have a favorite one?
I don't really have a favorite one because I haven't really paid it attention as an adult. Like, I'm only talking about, you know, as far as, you know, being a kid. I haven't really sat and watched Good Times like that as an adult where stuff actually registers. And we talked about that earlier, so, you know, I can't really
What's
say.
What's your favorite Good Times, Lady C?
I guess my favorite one was the one when James died.
Ooh.
Florida said, damn.
Oh, what she said, damn.
I like the fact that they all came in, they did come, and the people came and said how he was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to pick out one like that, it is that one or the wedding. Other than him falling over JJ, the wedding.
But that was funny. That was funny. All right, son, what was your favorite episode?
All right, I'm going to give you my favorite and my least favorite. And the
okay.
least favorite is easier than the favorite. The favorite.
Yeah, that sounds like a good episode.
I think I lost. Wait, hold on.
All right, let me go to my least favorite. Maybe it's my favorite to come back. All right. My least favorite was when JJ was going to marry the chick that was strung out and she dipped on him.
Oh,
you know,
I didn't like that one either.
Yeah.
Was that Debbie Allen?
Yeah, that was Debbie Allen.
Yeah.
That was
Harry.
He was cooking.
About that. Like,
they went to prom.
Like, damn. Like, I thought Harry would last a long time. You know what I mean? You couldn't wait.
Yeah,
you
she
would
was going crazy.
Over a dime bag. All right, so.
Well, she
that was my
least she just wanted the drug.
Oh, girl, went out the window.
All right, I guess. Damn. My favorite one was when they had the variety show and
I hated
episodes Florida like that. And I was doing
I liked that one.
Streams. Yeah,
I hated variety shows.
I thought it was alright. Yeah, since I'm pressed, yeah, that was my favorite.
I know. Yes.
Okay, my worst episode
don't blame us.
Was that one that you mentioned earlier where JJ was managing the white girl. I hated that episode.
Yeah.
She had no neck. She was ugly. I didn't like that little quick look.
She had no neck.
She had no neck. I hated that one.
Be a clown.
Yeah, I hated that one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My favorite episode where I had me on the floor laughing was when JJ caught VD. That was my favorite one.
Oh, that was a good one.
That was
cool.
Hilarious.
But he had it. He didn't have it, though. He wasn't even
running. They thought he had it.
You know why I liked it? I liked it because it actually showed he had sex with somebody.
And they were like,
JJ, you got VD. The only way you can get VD is, and he had this stupid look on his face like,
well,
apparently
I had it.
I said, oh, my God, JJ's having sex. Because, you know, you always look at him like he always talks a good game, like he got lucky with ladies. That was like our first evidence. Yeah, boom, boom, Belinda. That was like our first evidence that he actually did have sex with someone.
Yeah.
Because usually you think, look, he's a little skinny. He was always skinny and ugh. And then when he started growing out that curly afro, I don't know what was going on with the curly afro. We had it, like, texturized or something.
My least favorite show was the girl that had the lip gloss that came looking for him after Florida came back. And he had lost his job. The girl that he had dated when he was working at the advertising agency. And she came back. And she wanted 10% of the money. And lip gloss, the coffee in this was my lip gloss. And they went out to this fancy restaurant. And he couldn't afford it.
Wasn't he dating an older woman, too? JJ was putting it down with an older woman, too.
Yeah, he was going to marry her.
Yeah, a 30-something-year-old woman. I think he was just 20-something. And she was like 35, 40. JJ was putting
it down. She was going to marry him. And Florida said no.
She always got something to say. But my question is, why was those two big-ass grown men sleeping in bed together, sword fighting every night? I don't understand.
Because they had no choice.
Every night you get in the bed with, do you remember when Thelma moved out? Why was they still on the same? It was somebody had moved out.
Thelma moved out.
It was the mother.
When the mother left,
they were still on the couch, outside the couch.
They sure were. They still did because somebody used
the
room. Penny was using the room that night that they showed that, but before that, Mike had
the bed. Petty would have had her ass in the room with Thelma, and I would have been in that bed asleep. I'm like, how long
really?
Are they going to sleep together?
Thelma should have had both beds in that room. And
I
it
thought
was
it was too weird.
Thelma out on the couch.
It was too weird with those two grown-ass, big, booty dudes sleeping in the same bed together. Still grabbing for the blanket.
Was an alcoholic. The cousin that came over was an alcoholic and was hiding the golf.
Oh, yeah, the girl. That was a funny one, too, when the girl was drunk.
She
and she stood up and made the toast.
I'm moisturizing.
Oh, yeah, that was a funny one, too. I mean, you had some good episodes and good times. I mean, you had some that you were just like, wow.
Oh,
like
oh,
the one with JJ got shot.
Yeah, that was a good one. Mad Dog.
Yeah. Mad Dog, right?
Mad Dog.
Yeah, Mad Dog shot him.
I think I got him sad.
Blood transfuser. JJ
can
sweep
me out of the call. Hold on. Well, what about Thelma French that was a thief? She robbed him. She stole her, perfume. And when they caught her, the cops came to get her. She was like, well, at least I smell rich.
Smell good. It was coming to get the
money
from Thelma and him. They wanted to get Thelma's money.
She said that they was rich. They living up in the project. She said they was rich. Because they had to love
you.
God damn.
Remember the
you
got to
call her, bro.
Oh, yeah. The encyclopedia. Yeah.
Okay, we got a caller from 917. Wow, I didn't even see my screen was blank. 917. Hello. Welcome to Breakdown.
What's good, Blake? What's good, Blake? It's Stevie D.
Oh, Stevie D.
Hey.
What's good, what's
good? You coming
to Yeah.
Wow, you coming in at the close of our conversation. We were talking about good times. You want to chime in on good times real quick and give us your thoughts real quick?
I'm doing my favorite episode, and the favorite episode, which is always going to be my favorite, when JJ and Michael brought out the truth, what Christ really looked like.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I remember that.
I like that episode because it shows you over the years and generation how a lot of people have been taught that Christ looked one way, but when you actually go in the Bible, it shows you the true image of Christ, and then they look shocked when you show them. Like, I love that part when Michael was like, wait a minute, it's in the Bible, hold on. And he showed that, and when she actually looked and read it, she looked so shocked and surprised, like, but don't you go to church every Sunday? Ain't y'all supposed to read that?
Mm-hmm.
Yo,
I'm
not
everybody still falls for
that. Hey, y'all, that was the episode, that was my favorite episode, and that was the one that lost me, the black Jesus. The black man. So good looking out, my man, because that's what I was meant to, I was going to say. But somehow it got away from me. You know what I mean? See, I'm lost in the slavery. I'm a lost slave too.
So that will always be my ultimate favorite song. And you know what I noticed though? The guy that read that episode, he wrote a lot of episodes like that for other different shows, pulling that out. Because just the other day I was watching the old show Francis and Son, and he was the same guy that wrote the episode when the first step went in his background tree. And they found out the real Jews was black. It's a couple of episodes this guy wrote that he wrote for Good Times with this, and other shows with that.
Sanford and Son, One Day at a Time, The Jefferson.
Right.
Yeah.
But my thing just was for my good time, like I didn't write, they all lived in that apartment all them years.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, they could have had bad chances to get out. But it was like the only person that got out to get a process was the mother when she got remarried. And you just left the kids.
They was going to get out, and then the father died. Remember, they was packing up to go. He got a job in the garage, and they were actually packing up to go move out the ghetto. But he ended up dying.
That's true.
That's one episode where they actually.
My thing is, after Jay was out, it's like nobody got no more effort. Even with Florida got the job driving the school bus, like.
Right.
You mean y'all school bus driver make a little good decent amount. JJ was making him a little amount off a little good job. Even what's the sister name?
Wait, hold on.
It's funny that you brought up Florida driving the school bus. Because you mean to tell me, out of all of the bad luck they had, all of the miseducation, what were the chances of her having a CDL license?
They didn't need CDL back then. They had no problem. Children, get on the bus.
When she learned how to drive a car. Let alone a damn school bus. That shit was a real.
But she learned.
That shit came out of nowhere.
No, remember when that man cleaned up Ned the Wino? When they cleaned him up and his wife came and
okay. That was a good one.
That's why he I remember now why I drink, because she was a nag. Everything is waiting on you, Ned.
So
damn early in the morning too.
Sheesh.
If you're early riser like I am, it fits you just fine. I'm going to sleep at 9:30.
So, yes, she does.
Get up early.
So, definitely, you want to catch that show. Write it down, Saturday, 9:30, Block Talk Radio, 7752. Something to do on a Saturday morning before you go out and, you know, spend your Saturday. You know, like this. I enjoy it.
Chopped up his bag, Mom.
Chopped it up. You know, it's something to do on a Monday night, you know, after you did everything on a Monday morning.
Yeah. It doesn't work.
I just feel it rolls right off his tongue. I can't say it right. But definitely you got to catch that show. It's a wonderful show. Good topics, good conversation. Definitely want to catch that. Okay. What you got coming up Thursday, Crush?
Thursday is the Boom Boom Room.
The Boom Boom Room, my favorite show.
The Boom Boom Room. And we're talking about, do women really enjoy anal? Or are they just doing it to satisfy their significant other?
Like what you said.
And a slew of other stuff.
Do women really enjoy anal?
Right.
Yeah, we're
really
going to get it in so you don't be off the hook topic. No holds barred.
No holds barred.
No holds barred.
You know, we're playing that good music.
Playing that good
music. Right.
The Boom Boom Room. So anything.
The Boom Boom Room.
Go down to the Boom Boom Room. So definitely you want to be there. You know, we're going to get raunchy. I'm going to chime in on my little. I'm going to.
Yeah, hope you're not late this Thursday.
No, I'm not going to be late this Thursday. Shut up. One damn time. I'm here. That's the times I'm late. I'm on time all the other time. One damn time. Okay. I will be there. Definitely be there. All right. Next show we have coming up on Brick's House, which will be next Monday, will be our love, sex, and relationship show. I really don't have a clue what that is right now. I ain't going to lie to you. I don't know what it is, but you better believe it's going to be juicy. And I'm going to post it in enough time for us to have. We're going to talk the whole 2 hours about sex. Sex and more sex. And sex all over the place. Sex to the left, sex to the right.
And then, we also have a new group.
Yes,
radio on Facebook called the Fancy Lounge, you know, and chime in on there. We'll have like different themes and stuff like that, and you know, use some of your stuff for the topics that we have for the shows. May want to check that out.
Definitely, you want to check that out. So, Lady C, I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank Black Reporter, wherever he is in cyberspace, for tuning in. I want to definitely thank Crush. I want to thank Sun 752 for chiming in. Thank you, Stevie B. I want to thank you for chiming in and coming and joining us this evening. Did I get everybody? Oh, those that came on in our chat room who left, thank you for coming in. 803, you listened to the whole show but didn't want to come in, but I thank you for listening. You're a great listener. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I hope you'll tune in and I'll see anything tomorrow. Other than that, Crush. Lady C, you want to leave us out? I'm going to see if I can do it. What time there was has ceased to be. Blah, 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 you heard what we said. We ain't got no more, so we're going to tell that.
Why are we
not
talking about Sean? You didn't play what you wanted to hear. Oh, well.
Oh, well, run tell out the Black Reporter. Something, we will see you in a while. And now, I don't even know what the fuck to
we
say.
Are in. But time for one, it seems to me there is no more. Stand up, stop losing, because you can fall
today
for
is tomorrow,
anything.
Tomorrow's our promise.
If we didn't play everything.
If we didn't play everything you wanted to hear, screw that. You heard everything we had, so go run and tell that.
We need to get an outro. We're going to make an outro one day.
We got to make an outro.
Make an outro for our show. We're going to sit down. We're going to do that. That's our homework.
Make an outro for Brick's Make an outro for Brick's show.
You've been to my house.
Right.
You had a good time. Hope you enjoyed the meal. Bye-bye.
See, you know what? I'm going to have Lady C call with our outro.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I want to thank everybody.
House in the sink.
I want to thank everybody for doing this. Maybe I'll say a limerick. I don't know. I'm going to find something to say. Either way,
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for the bottom of the heart tuning in the Bricks House. We'll all see you. I'll see you, Stevie B. I'll see you Saturday. I'll see you, B. Sun752. I'll see you Saturday, definitely. Stevie B, thanks for calling in. Crush, I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see everybody tomorrow on the Adult Zone, where the adults come to play. Good night, everybody. Have a good night.
Good night.
Later.
Did you?